The title of my message, as I welcome you to the month of joy, is Joy is Your Choice. Joy is your choice. Joy is your choice. Spirit of a living God, thank you for your word. Breathe upon it. And let it give us life in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a responsibility as a pastor or as your pastor to teach you the word of God as I am sent to do. I don't want you to be in this church and be ignorant. Ignorant of what your God is saying. Ignorant of what God is expecting of you. Hallelujah. Those things will stand you in good stead when the time comes. Praise the Lord. Don't be a congregation of people who reason God out. They reason him out. They relate with God in their senses. God is not in your senses. God is beyond our senses. God is spirit. And they that must worship him in spirit and in truth. I pray that the truth of the Almighty will tabernacle in our lives today, in Jesus' mighty name. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Brother James did not say God will give you joy when you are facing your challenges. He says it's your responsibility and it's my responsibility to bring out joy in the face of our challenges. It's like when Jehoshaphat was facing those numerous armies and they had no power to fight of themselves. They went to seek the Lord. And the Lord told him, you will not fight in this battle. And the battle was in array. The Bible says Jehoshaphat chose singers. And singers stood in front of the battle. Can you imagine? And they began to sing. They manufactured joy in the face of fear. Let me tell you, if you are already bold enough or courageous enough to manufacture joy in the presence of your problem, you are already victorious. Oh my God. Well, when you get home, you will understand it. Praise the Lord. John Maxwell says, fake joy. I agree with the statement, by the way. He says, fake joy is better than genuine depression. I love that. Fake joy is better than genuine depression. No matter what is causing you to be depressed, you need to bring out joy. In the face of your problems, you just want to shout. You just want to laugh. You just want to say, Jesus, thank you. I am a child of God. I am the head and not the tail. I am victorious over this situation. From there, you begin to exude the joy of the Lord. Listen to me. You can choose to be joyful, and you can choose to be sad. Amen. Like I said to us during our new month and Holy Communion blessing, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit that should never be out of season in your life. Every life needs joy. Every relationship needs joy. Oh, a joyless relationship. I don't want to be part of that. Praise the Lord. You got to manufacture it. Even when your wife is angry against you, do something that will make her laugh. Do something that will make her smile. You see, it's not whether you are right or wrong at this point. Or your husband does something. Or your wife has offended you. Do something. Wife, do something that will make him laugh. One of the things that I know men love so much is when you begin to praise them. Don't say your head is like coconut. No. Praise the Lord. You put your hand on his head and begin to say some sweet, nice things. His anger will abate. You understand what I'm trying to say? Amen. And let me tell you, don't mistake happiness for joy. Happiness and joy, they're not the same thing. Happiness is because of what you see and what you can touch externally. Happiness is circumstantial, which means if that thing is not there, your happiness has gone. That's not joy. Joy is internal. Joy is an internal substance. Regardless of what you may be going through, regardless of what you are seeing, regardless of what you can touch, joy is based solely on the fact that you have Jesus Christ in your heart. That's why it's the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is because you are a child of God. Joy should be in your heart simply because you are a Christian. That's why I think we Christians, we should be the most joyful people. But oh, how sad. Christians many times are the most long-faced people you can ever see. Praise and worship, praising your God and magnifying your God is going on. Christians are sitting down and forlorn. They are looking morose. They don't have salvation anymore. It's like they have lost something better than their salvation. Oh, David said, restore back to me the joy of salvation. When God is being worshipped in your presence, anywhere God is being worshipped, there should be joy in your heart. Because your Savior is being worshipped. The one who saved you, the one who gave you daily benefit, the one who washed you by his blood, the one who took the payment of what you could never pay, he put it upon himself and he paid it. Even while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. How can he be praised in your presence? And you are just folding your hands. And later you want to say, but you know what? I am a child of God. No, your child of Godness, you need to prove it. In the times when the choir is singing, or there is even no music, and people are singing and joyful in the presence of the Lord, you too, you should be dancing. You too, you should be rising on your feet and be dancing. I want to see Christians who are joyful in the house rise up on their feet and shout hallelujah to the Most High God. If you have Jesus in your life, there is no reason why you should not be joyful. Everything else is circumstantial. Everything else will pass away. Praise the Lord. Remember your Savior. Remember your friend. Remember your provider. Remember him who can be anything you want him to be. Jesus Christ, the joy of salvation, can be anything you want him to be in your life. There are many times at home, my wife will just hear me shout, thank you, Jesus. We may be sitting together in the living room, and she will ask me what happened. I said nothing. Nothing. I just feel like praising God because there is joy in my heart. Hallelujah. Sometimes I'm like, whoa, glory to God. Not because I saw anything. But mostly, when I think about where I used to be, when I think about where God took me from, and I see myself where I am now, and I can see the picture of where God is taking me. Come on, somebody. There's no way you are not going to stand. There's no way you are not going to say, yes, Lord, glory be to your name. That's what gives you joy. What if you are still hell-bound? I'm no longer hell-bound. I'm heaven-bound. That's why I shout for joy. That's why, you see, let me tell you something. Joy is an expression of gratitude. It's an expression of gratitude. Saying, Lord, thank you for all you have done for me. Amen. You see, some Christians, expressions of joy to cold, let me define here. There are hot Christians and there are cold ones. I don't know what category you belong to. But cold Christians, they will criticize the hot Christians that they are abnormal because they are standing up. And then the keyboardist, where is the keyboardist now? Come on. Drummer, come on. Come on. Come on, give me some jam. Give me some jam. Hallelujah. Give me some jam. Glory to God. Glory to God. You are wasting my time. Hallelujah. Come on, give me something. Give me something. Give me something. Give me something. Glory to God. Come on. Come on. Glory. 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 The one Christian is already moving. He's already jumping. He's already saying, thank you, Jesus. Glory be to your name. And the cold Christian is looking. He's holding their hands like this. Oh, but me. Come on now. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Glory. Glory. Glory, 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 glory. I want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me, for what you've done for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. A joyful Christian will manufacture songs even when there is no music at all. If you are one of those Christians, I need you to be on your feet and give God praise and give God glory and give God honor and give God adoration because you have him inside you. Greater is he that is in you, that is in me, than he that is in, that is in the world. Come on, somebody, shout glory! Hallelujah. You see, I can be criticized that, oh, he doesn't even know how to sing. Who cares? Oh, he doesn't even know how to dance. Who cares? I'm not dancing for you. I'm not singing for you. I'm singing for the one who saved me. I'm expressing my gratitude and my joy to the one who is, whom I'm expecting to come back. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, church, the promises of God, there should be joy in the heart of a believer when you remember what God said about you. When you remember what God says he will do for you. Oh, you are believing God for a child. And you remember the Bible says, and none shall be barren. That's when you take your cloth and then you move around and say, Lord, I thank you. I'm expecting. That's why I know I'm not barren. I give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for James. Thank you for John. Thank you for begin to name children. Begin to just mention children. Let me tell you something. You need to show radical craziness of joy before you can catch the attention of heaven. God is not going to come into a place where the water is ice. Every time he's weeping, crying, as if you will catch God's attention with weeping. God is not mindful. It's not the weeping. He can have pity on you. Oh, sorry. You know, like you Nigerians do. Oh, hey, yeah. And that will be the end of it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, in the book you've never read, Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3, 14 to 20. He says, sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgment. You see the reason why? He said, God has taken away your judgment. He has cast out your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more. In that day, it shall be said to you, do not fear Zion. Do not fear Wisdom Assembly. Do not let your hand be weak. The Lord your God is in your midst. The Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I will gather those who sorrow over the appointed assembly. Who among you to whom his reproach is a burden? Behold, at that time, I will deal with all that afflicts you. I will save the lame and gather those who are driven out. I will appoint them for praise and fame in every land where they were put to shame. At that time I will bring you back, even at the time I gather you. For I will give you fame and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I return your captivities before your eyes. When you hear that, what your Lord has said, wouldn't you shout and say, thank you, Jesus? Listen to me. When your thoughts are filled with God's grace, you are filled with God's grace, joy definitely fills your heart. Oh, many times I just remember the grace of God that was operating in my life even before I got born again. Oh, the one that readily came to mind, I've shared it with you before. I was a student. I was underneath my car. Something was wrong. I propped it up. Unknown to me, the jack I used to prop it up was already bent. And it was moving away. And the car was falling down. Somebody was seeing me from far away. I did not know. But one reason or the other, I just came out from under the car. As soon as I raised my head, the car just went down. Bam! And somebody said, I shouldn't say, glory to God. When I remember that, joy wells in my heart for the operation of grace. Hallelujah. Don't you have joy knowing that your sins are forgiven? Huh? That you're not carrying the weight of that sin anymore. You are not carrying the weight of that sin anymore. Huh? People may be judging you, but God is not judging you anymore. Shouldn't you rejoice in His presence? Shouldn't you rejoice knowing that, yes, now I'm a child of God. I am a child of God. That song alone should give you joy. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. The day Jesus was being announced, woo! In Luke chapter 2, look at what the angels did. I read from verse 8 to 12. There were shepherds camping in the neighborhood. They had set night watches over their sheep. Suddenly, God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them. They were terrified. The angel said, don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event. Do you still have that event? Do you still have that event? The event of Jesus in your heart. The event of Jesus living in you. A great and joyful event that is meant for everybody. Worldwide, a Savior has been born in David's town. A Savior who is Messiah the Master. This is what you are to look for. A baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I am grateful. My heart is filled with joy because I have the hope of salvation. Hallelujah. Think about the disciples. Oh, what a wonderful people. The disciples, they had a lot of problems. They had a lot of problems. They had a lot of challenges to deal with. They were facing the kind of persecution you are yet to face. The kind of persecution I am yet to face because we are believers. They've been flogged, they've been beaten, they've been kicked. All sorts of things were done to them. But guess what? They were always joyful. They were always joyful because they know who they were in Christ. If you don't know who you are in Christ, you can't manufacture joy. You can't. It is the God in you, Jesus in you, that brings the joy. That's why Paul and Silas in the prison, the shackles, when others were looking at their shackles, they were crying. When Paul and Silas looked at their shackles, they said, boy, it's time to sing. It's time to give him praise. It's time to count it all joy. When we fall into diverse trials, come on, let's sing the praise of the Almighty God. And in that situation, they began to sing. They manufactured it, not because they felt like it, but they begin to praise God regardless. Because they have hope. Because they have joy in the Lord. And guess what? God responded. I pray that this month, as you exhibit joy, God will respond to you. I say God will respond to you. Hallelujah. The Bible made me to understand that they were joyful. Why? Because they were looking forward to be partakers of God's glory. That's the glory that is beyond anything else anybody can ever know. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 2, the Bible says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That was what the apostles did. They were always joyful in the hope of the glory of God. There is nothing else that can give you joy beyond the fact that, hey, there is a glory I'm going to share with Jesus. I'm going to share in Jesus' glory. A day is coming, the trumpet is going to sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. And we which are alive will be caught up together in the air. The Bible says that day we will see him as he is. That day we will have a conversation, a face-to-face conversation. That day we will not have any questions at all, because every answer will be revealed immediately to us. That is enough to exude joy in your life. Hallelujah. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 19. 1 Corinthians 15, 19. It says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we don't have joy. We are of all men most miserable. If everything that will make you joyful is on this side of eternity, you won't find it. You are a pitiable person. That's what the Bible says. It's not me. Praise the Lord. Joy comes from knowing what God has done for you. Is there somebody here who can say, there's nothing God has ever done for me? I've had a child say that to the father before. What did you do for me? Is there any one of us here who will ever say to God, what have you done? What have you done for me? No, none of us dare say that. Hallelujah. That's why it changes your perception. It changes your perception when you are in a difficult situation. You focus on the expectation, on the promises of God. And that promise will not fail you. I said those promises will not fail you. So, you see, with this in mind, you can choose to have joy. You can choose to have joy in the midst of your financial difficulties. You can choose to have joy in the midst of your marital challenges. You can choose to have joy in spite of your physical pain. In which past, my knee is getting better by the day, but I did not allow it. I did not allow that pain to steal my joy. I did not allow it. That's why I be, oh, why don't you sit still? Why don't you do this? Who wants my life? Who wants my leg? Who wants everything? It's God. It belongs to him. So whatever is going to happen to it, let it happen, but I will not allow it to steal my joy. Nothing will steal my joy. Nothing will steal my dancing. Nothing will steal my rejoicing. And I pray that you too, you will not lose your joy in the mighty name of Jesus. Don't let what you are going through steal your joy. Let me tell you something. If you are sad before you get married, you will be sad after you get married. You are not a joyful child of God before you bought your house. Your house will remain a house, and there will still be no joy there. It is you who brings the joy in. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. I know it's not an easy thing, and I'm not knocking it. Oh, if only there can be a child in this house that will run up and down. You know, I've seen some people post on Facebook, and I pity them. When maybe their baby is having birthday. Oh, my everything. I'm like, really? This little boy is your everything. This little girl is your everything. Which means if that person is not there, everything has gone. I can't call my child my everything. It's not possible. How can my child be my everything? Jesus is my everything. My wife is not even my everything. If my wife would ever say to me, oh, you know, you are my everything. I'm not your everything. I can be your tea. I can be your butter on your bread. I can be your sugar in your tea. But I'm not your everything. Because now you want to put responsibility on me. Ah, no. Praise the Lord. I reject that one. Amen. Nobody, no human being should ever be your everything. Only God is your everything. You see, we mischaracterize English language. Maybe that's not what we meant. So find the right word. Find the right word. So, oh, if there's no baby here, because if there's a child here, now everything will be fine. You lie. Yesterday, I was still telling my wife, yesterday night before I went to bed, I'm like, honey, when are we going to... I think we need one day. Just you and me. When nobody will be there. Let's talk about ourselves. Let's talk about our lives. My wife said, I agree. Oh, because it's like we are living other people's lives. Those tenants living in our house, we are living their life. And then my wife was like, well, give it another 10 years. I'm like, oh, Jesus. 10 years, long, long. Oh, my God. That's too far away. I want to travel with my wife. I want to take a drive alone where nobody is going to disturb me. You understand what I'm trying to say? You say, oh, something happened, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? Huh? I want to be on a motorcycle together with my wife. She's saying it. I'm like, God forbid. Not me and you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, I love good things. And I want to share those good things with my wife. You know, the funny thing is, even when I go out and I'm hungry, I can stop at any restaurant and eat. But there's no joy in my heart. Sitting down alone and eating. What's the joy in sitting down alone and eating? So I'll just go home. Whatever she gives me, I'll eat. So if you see me losing weight, you know who to blame. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Our hope is not in this world. Our hope is nothing, anything that is in this world. Amen. Joy comes when we have peace with God. When you know in your heart that your heart belongs to God. When you know you are fully given it over to God. You know in your heart that you are no longer condemned. Then joy wells up. You know that God is in perfect control. God is responsible for your destiny. Some of us, we say we are Christians, but we are not sure if God has accepted us. When you know and when you accept that God has accepted you, there will be joy in your heart. There will be joy in your heart. There will be joy. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, say, joy is your choice. Come on, say, joy is your choice. Joy is your choice. When you choose joy, next time you look at yourself in the mirror, you no longer have low self-esteem. Rather, you are just glowing in who God has made you. Rather than looking at yourself, you are looking at the God who made you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Even though you are dieting and you are eating cake before you go to bed, thank the Lord at the same time and say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know the Michelin man? With all the Michelin folds, look at yourself and say, thank you, Jesus. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Ever you look down on yourself anymore, you ladies, with all the children you have given birth to, don't let your husband condemn you. If he wants to condemn you, look at him and say, honey, God did not condemn me. The way I look is your fault. This is not the way you met me. It's all because of all that I have given to you. So, in Jesus' name, be quiet. Praise the Lord. I didn't ask you to abuse your husband. Amen. So don't go home and start practicing. Keep quiet in Jesus' name. I won't do counseling for you. Amen. Don't let the challenges you are facing deceive you. Amen. There's something awesome. There's something marvelous that is lying dormant on the inside of you. Joy is a companion of hope. I want you to tell somebody next to you and say, your best days are ahead of you. If they don't say it like they mean it, turn to somebody who will tell you, your best days are ahead of you. When you think about your future, joy should rise up on the inside of you. The hope of the future should bring constant joy. Hallelujah. I was telling some men that every night before I go to bed, the last thing I normally say is, Lord, have mercy on me. But before then, I always find a happy place to go. And that my happy place always has to do with God. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, I thank you. I just think about the things that my children have done in the day that has made me laugh or happy. And I'm like, Lord, I just thank you. Like this morning, I was getting ready for my sermon. I was preparing my sermon. My son woke up. He said he's hungry. Okay. So he sat down at the table with me. He said, you know what, Dad? I have something. Initially, I was like, I'm busy. Then I said, tell me, what do you have? In case he can add to my message. You know. He said, I know how we can be saving water in this house. I'm like, I'm all ears. Because you are the number one water waster. He said, there should be something that whereby when water goes, it should filter that water that goes and come back again and recycle it. I said, that's good. Go and manufacture it. He said, but I don't know how. I said, pray and start studying. God has, I didn't tell you about it. You came to me because every day I'm always shouting, who is wasting water there? When the bill comes, I will give it to your mother. Praise the Lord. Amen. The hope of the future gives you constant joy. It should be, amen, gives you joy in the present. You look at your future. You look at the picture of the future God is building for you. You should be joyful now. Amen. That's why Paul said, and we know all things work together for good to those who love God. Those who are called according to his purpose. If you have joy in your heart, it's a matter of perception. This too shall pass. And because of it, let me dance ahead. Hallelujah. Let me give God praise ahead. Let me give God glory ahead. Rather than wallow in sadness. Amen. Listen to me. Write this down. Word and sound. Put it on the screen as I close. Our Christianity is not diminished because we have problems. Our Christianity is not diminished because we have problems. But our Christianity is very questionable if we have no joy. Our Christianity is not diminished because we have problems. Because I have a problem doesn't mean make me a less Christian. But I become a less Christian if I have no joy. Then my Christianity becomes questionable. Joyful people know that God is in perfect control. Hallelujah. Listen to me, child of God. You are not alone. Did you hear me? You are not alone. Whatever you are going through, you are not in it alone. Because the Lord made me to understand. You see, if we become sensitive to the presence of God, you know that in whatever you are going through, if you can just turn to where God is in your life, you'll find out that that thing is not that difficult. It's not going to kill you. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6. I read from the Message Bible. It says, be strong. Take courage. Don't be intimidated. Don't give them a second thought because God, your God, is striding ahead of you. He's right there with you. He won't let you down. He won't leave you. Then in the New Testament, he said in Hebrews 13, 5 to 6, don't be obsessed with getting more material things. Be relaxed. Be relaxed with what you have. Since God assured us, I will never let you down. Never walk off and leave you. We can boldly quote, God is there, ready to help. I am fearless, no matter what. Who or what can get to me? Is there somebody who can say that? Because they know in their know that God will never leave them nor forsake them.